University of Oslo, a visiting professor at All Souls College in Oxford, where we just spoke to him. A very special happy fifth birthday to Arthur Alcock. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us on Democracy Now!
This is WHFR Dearborn, and now it's time for our public affairs show, and we call it the new WHFR Journal. Hello and welcome to another edition of the new WHFR Journal. This is Jay Koronek with you, station advisor here at WHFR-FM. Glad you could tune in today or listen to our podcast. Again, that's available anytime for our website right after broadcast, WHFR.FM. My co-host and WHFR News Director, John Conroy, is in the studio with me today. So, hi, John. How you doing?
I'm well, Jay. How are you?
Oh, we're fantastic today. It's very exciting here at Henry Ford College. Well, it's always exciting here at Henry Ford College, but that's the public relations person in me. But it's because Women's Recognition Luncheon 2016 is happening today right outside our windows here in the Student Center. I would say there's probably about 300 or 350 distinguished representatives from the community. Some men, even, because thank goodness some men know to recognize women and all they mean, at least once a year. I'm being satirical, guys. Sorry. Okay. Remember, all opinions on the show are not necessarily those of anyone here at Henry Ford College, faculty, staff, students,
and or
WHFR, except for us, yes. But some of the special guests out there, we saw Debbie Dingell, our elected representative to Congress. Of course, Mayor John B. O'Reilly Jr. himself always attends. He's out there. A lot of representatives from Henry Ford College administration offices. And we don't know yet, in terms of the college, there's always an award called the Women's Recognition Award for a woman at the college who has done extraordinary things over the last year, and that hasn't been announced yet, and so we'll mention that next week. But certainly a lot of people have done extraordinary things to help in the community, and it looks like the special Jean Brazell, she's the one that started this luncheon and the what was called the Focus on Women program back in the early 80s, the Community Role Model Award recipient for this year is Betty Priscorn. She's Vice President of Community Health and Outreach at Beaumont Health, which is the new amalgam organization that includes, of course, the Oakwood Hospitals that we're familiar with here in Dearborn. So a big luncheon and a lot of things going on out there. A lot of people being honored, and rightly so. But we got to turn to the stories that are important to us here in Dearborn and the surrounding area. As I go off mic to grab the newspapers, remember the WHFR Journal is the only talk show on the air where you can hear the pages turning. If we can get the pages to turn here. All right, looking back to last Sunday, in the Press and Guide, there was a couple things. I was interested that there was a foreclosures lawsuit against municipalities, and apparently the federal district court that heard it, I was interested, I guess, because Tarek Beydoun, who I believe he ran for city council a little while back, or some political office anyway, and he has a legal firm that especially handles cases against cities that do you wrong, and I won't mention it because I think maybe this lawsuit was kind of an advertisement for his company and what they do. Of course, it looks like they're not going to win, but one of the communities mentioned in the lawsuit are Dearborn, of course, as well as Lincoln Park, Garden City, Wayne, and Redford Townships. And it was all about illegal foreclosure of properties. But unfortunately, it's actually allowed that if there is a property in the area that hasn't paid its like county taxes, the cities, these cities, and it varies a little bit from city to city, they can buy it at a very low price and then resell it themselves. Oh. And the lawsuit charges that the resales have gone to like special insider friends of the city. But as I said, it looks like the lawsuit is going to be thrown out, and especially because the federal U.S. District Court judge said, why are you bringing it to us? Why not go to a state court? But it's good that, you know, if you feel that you've been wronged somehow, go to the courts, you know.
Bring it to light.
Yeah, it's worth trying anyway. Maybe they'll see it your way. Okay, and that was last Sunday. Of course, there's always late-breaking news that doesn't get in the papers, and we'll get to that in just a few moments here. One thing I wanted to mention last week, because there was a public hearing, but didn't get the word out, folks. Of course, a lot of people can't get to those anyway. DTE Energy hosted a public meeting on January 28th informing residents about the upcoming gas renewal program for Dearborn residents. They're putting in apparently outside meters on your house. And they will supposedly, and they're going to do it to a lot of houses in East Dearborn area, they're supposedly going to be notifying you, and they actually want somebody to be there at the same time that they're doing it. And in addition, they're replacing a lot of their service lines too. Now, I think I saw DTE gas, vendors or outside contractors putting in these huge PVC pipes, replacing gas lines in my neighborhood, which is a sort of Springwells area of Dearborn, near Rotunda and Outer Drive. Last year, we had a lot of houses. At least one main line was done, and it didn't happen on my street, so I'm not sure. I assume those people were notified because they really dug up the area. Some people were complaining online. They went online to look at the story, and that's where you see all the complaints, of course.
So we're talking meter adjustments?
New meters, but also they're going to, in many areas, are going to dig up the gas lines and put in new ones. I know some people were complaining, and I'm just, it's not in the story, but some people were complaining that in the past, they put in these new meters, and they put them in places that were very, not very pretty. Okay, when looked at from the street, they were noticeable from the street, or they were cockeyed or something, or sideways, or whatever. And so some people are complaining. So, but unfortunately, it's a done deal. It's going to happen. That's a monopoly, folks, so you can't do really anything about it. Give a call to the city of Dearborn and see what they say. But it's called the Gas Renewal Program for DTE Energy, and it's going to be starting especially in certain areas of East Dearborn, and they will let you know individually. But that's something to watch for.
Yeah.
You have a downriver story for us, John?
Let's see.
I surprised him here, folks.
Yep. Yeah. I can talk about our Downriver Career Technical Consortium. It is happening February 10th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Carlson High School cafeteria.
Okay, that's next Wednesday.
And
who is it for? High schoolers, right?
10th grade career expo, combining academics with career and technical education for a successful future. And there are 9 school districts represented.
One of them Dearborn?
No, this is downriver. It's Airport, Flat Rock, Gibraltar, Roseal, Huron, Riverview, Southgate, Trenton.
So they get a day off, or at least a morning anyway, to bust in.
Well, it's at night, so they'll...
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I heard 10 a.m. What time is it?
No, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m.
Oh, 6 to 8, okay.
Yep,
great.
At Carlson High School in Gibraltar.
Yep, that's great.
A whole slew of different subjects will be talked about, and you preview these technical education programs for students enrolled, and you learn about earning college credits, plan your son and or daughter's career education, meet program instructors, and view sample projects related to the programs.
So those kinds of events are done well in a larger area, a larger size, because they get more representatives and more experts on different issues, including admission to college and so on. I bet Henry Ford College might have a table there too, but it's mainly about careers. But of course, you can't have a great career without some kind of higher education these days.
Well, and they catch the kids early enough so that they have a chance to do some of these specialized programs while they're still in high school. And informational meeting to be held prior to the expo in the auditorium at Carlson High School at 5:45.
Okay. We're going to shift to entertainment news. Just go back and forth on the hour because that means you'll always be tuned in because you don't know what's coming up next. Okay. Dearborn Symphony Orchestra presents Brassimatazz, a Pops concert tonight, conducted by Rich Ridenour, but he's also going to be playing as pianist, and it features Brandon Ridenour. Yes, it's his son on trumpet. And his son is a veteran of the famed Canadian Brass, and they're going to do a lot of hits that you would be familiar with, including a Beatles tribute and a Billy Joel song. So it's going to be a lot of fun, and of course it starts at 8 o'clock tonight, and it is in the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center, Michigan Avenue. That's Brassimatazz at the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center. Of course, the Michael Guido Theater. And ticket information, of course, you can go to dearbornsymphony.org or you can call them directly, 313-565-2424, and that'll be a fun evening. 1 week before the big question, what do you do with your loved one for Valentine's Day weekend? Nonetheless, you can get a head start, folks, and say, This has to count for next week.
Yeah.
I'm sure it'll be a great performance and a lot of fun, and everybody loves the Pops concerts.
And we'll also have our WHFR table there.
Yes, we will tonight. Yes.
Shake people's hands and hand out flyers.
Our promotions person, Chelsea, is going to be there with at least one of other staff members.
You're
going to be there, John. Yep. All right. Meet John Conroy tonight at Brassimatazz. That's great. Okay. That's I'm sure it's gonna be a lot of fun, John.
Yeah.
So thank you for volunteering to do that. We sort of take turns with all of the events that WHFR co-sponsors. There's a big one coming up in March, Holistic Fair, which we'll talk about more in March, of course, and all kinds of things we're always involved in off air too. So try to take part in some of these things because it's a lot of fun, whether it's a WHFR event or something else.
Okay. I think I went through the papers. Yes, I did. All right. Now we'll get down to the
core issues of the day here. Okay. I wanted to do this one last week, but it's something new at the Dearborn Animal Shelter. They have now set up a helpline for advice. So there's a way to get, without physically taking your pet or yourself, into the shelter. And it's still located on Greenfield Road, just south of the overpass of I-94. Okay, so that's their current location. They're still fundraising big time now because they have the location. They want the new facility, the new and better and enlarged facility, to help them with caring for all the animals. I think they still got about $3 million more to go. So we're looking for some deep pockets. As Bernie Sanders might say, community support. Everybody gives $10 who lives in Dearborn, and that's, 100,000 times 10. That's 10 million right there. So everybody only in Dearborn only needs to give about 33 cents a person. So that's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
But that means even the kids and the babies. So it's a problem. Oh, speaking of population in Dearborn, last week, and I always have these little problems and lapses and so on, and I think about them after the show. I said that Flint, Michigan had only about 35,000 residents.
Oh.
And I hope a lot of them haven't
moved out.
Or passed. But in fact, they're about the same size in population as Dearborn. They have a little more area. They have about 35 square mile area for the city of Flint instead of 25. We have about 25 square miles in Dearborn. And we're both around 90,000, 92,000 according to the last census.
Okay.
But of course, Flint was much, much bigger in the heydays of the Buick auto plant. That was there.
Buick City, yep.
Yeah, and a lot of other special events. I remember a great attraction that they thought would really bring everybody to Flint. It was called Auto World.
Mm-hmm.
That was, the 60s? I went there with my parents anyway. I remember us driving up from beautiful Flat Rock, where I was living with them at the time. This is back in the early 60s. And it only lasted about 3 or 4 years and closed down, because after you go once, I guess you didn't want to go again. But I think the Ford Rouge Tour, now especially with a lot of multimedia and other things going on, is much more entertaining than that was. you know, they tried it, and they got tons of money for a few attractions or to try to fix up their riverfront. I guess the river back in the 60s wasn't totally brown and and toxic, so that a riverfront wouldn't be a bad idea, but that never caught on either. So,
and there were still references made in the late 70s to that Auto mm-hmm. World place as well, because I didn't move here until 1977, and there was still talk about that a little bit. You know?
Of course, maybe it was because I saw that there was like 35,000 households, and they need 35,000 filters on the pipes in those, because there is about 30,000 households in Dearborn, so Flint has probably got a similar amount. By the way, we're still collecting water on campus. If you wonder, there's several different places in Dearborn, in the community, and downriver, where you can give bottled water to various nonprofit groups who will get it up to Flint. And here at Henry Ford College, two of our student clubs, the Student Nursing Association and the African American Association, are collecting water through next Friday, February 12th, to the end of the day next Friday, pretty much during the day. And it's in room 109 right here in the M building, and that's the student center at the front of the campus. I'm sure that the guards who choose who gets into the visitors lot there, it's a gated lot at the front of the campus, that if you say, I've got water to donate in the student center, I'm sure they'll just let you in and park for a little while to drop that off. So in case you're looking for a drop-off place, it can be right here at Henry Ford College through next Friday, though. And this has been extended for about 3 weeks. So it's been going on, and will have gone on about a whole month. It's not because we're not getting donations, but they're taking them up every Friday, and they still got a lot more coming in, which is wonderful. Thank you to everyone that's been helping with that. Of course, there's still a lot more ongoing need in Flint, especially for good filters for everybody's water in their own houses. But bottled water will still be needed. The last I saw for a complete redo of the pipes, the water pipes that feed the hopefully cleaner Detroit water into the lines, that these lines have to be replaced, it's going to cost $1.5 billion dollars to do that. And that's not the only community in Michigan that has high lead levels, but I did look it up, and if I didn't say this last week, Dearborn and Dearborn Heights, for example, which is our nearby folks, they are shown to have zero parts per billion. Whereas you say, well, how many parts per billion are a danger? Well, I don't know, but I think it's about 30, and Flint has 150 parts per billion. But they do say that if the filters are used, they are working, although the filters say they don't work at more than 150 parts per billion. That's the limit of effectiveness of the filters, but apparently that is also the fact of how much lead is there currently in the water. So that might work, but somebody's got to replace those pipes eventually. You can't, because the filter's got to be changed, I bet, regularly. With that much lead, you can't be using them for more than a couple months, I bet.
I'm not sure what the capacity is for those.
Yeah, but I'm just saying. I mean, you think of the water pitchers you use to take a little bit of contaminants out, whether it's Brita or Pure or whatever. They usually have to be changed every 3 months to 6 months, depending on how much how many times you fill your dispenser. Right. So I assume that a Flint filter is got to be changed frequently if there's that much sediment of one sort or the other.
I also, downriver, there's drop-off points as well for water being at the Ford Woodhaven stamping plant and the Trenton VFW. And the Wyandotte Knights of Columbus on Biddle.
Yep. That's all true. Got another story there, John? As long as you're on a roll.
Sure. I can talk about the Debbie Dingell's program for Valentine's for Veterans. Following up on the success of last year's event, Debbie Dingell is asking local students from across her district to help keep the program going. She's asking students to make handmade cards for area veterans in order to show them they are loved and appreciated. We need your help again on this important project to show our veterans that we love them as much as they love our country. Once the cards are made, staff members from Dingell's offices in Dearborn and Ypsilanti can arrange for a pickup, or they can be dropped off at either office. And going along with that theme of veterans, I'll just mention my acronym, or not my acronym, but the acronym that is standard for Fridays now, called RED, remember everyone deployed. Everyone should wear red on Fridays.
Let's see. Gee whiz. I'm in blue here, so I guess I missed that for a while. But oh, well.
I got both.
Maybe
got
next Friday, because next Friday is like Valentine's weekend. So
that's true. That's a good day.
That's an excuse for red right there, the, you know, the bleeding hearts. I mean, the active, full of life, loving hearts.
Loving hearts.
That's
there
right.
We go.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. A couple of other things I found here, as we always run through our stories. And I saw this in the New York Times. But just a clarification, if you remember a few weeks ago, I said, you know, nobody is vilifying, and I think it's appropriate in terms of Flint water crisis, so we're back to Flint here, who was the manager of Flint, appointed by Governor Snyder, who made the decision to switch to Flint River water without the extra protections. Okay. And found out the name is Darnell Early, and I said, I've heard of that before. Well, it didn't click in my mind until I realized, first of all, he's not still in Flint. He was appointed 6 months ago? He left Flint to become the emergency manager of Detroit Public Schools. Is that a step up or down? Is that a demotion or promotion?
Right.
We wonder there, you know, certainly. And what happened just 2 days ago is that he quit. He quit as the manager of Flint. And here's the reason, according to the New York Times. Okay. And this is according to a spokeswoman for the Detroit Public Schools, said that Darnell Early had declined to testify before a panel that is investigating the contamination of Flint's tap water after the city switched its water source, which he was the person in charge. I mean, you know, when you put an emergency manager in charge of the city, they are the dictator. They are
the only
yeah. one that has responsibility and power to do anything they want to. That's the way it's set up. And, of course, by resigning, Early would no longer be testifying as an employee of the state. So it's a question in my mind, will he be testifying as a private citizen? But if somebody, I mean, okay, so he has resigned along with Governor Snyder's public relations person, although I mentioned that week his name was Muchmore. That was his last name, Muchmore. But he had announced, like last June, that he's going to be retiring, and he's an elderly gentleman, and it was about that time, I guess, for him. But it's interesting that I just saw one of his emails from last June where he actually complained internally to Snyder and others in the government that nobody's paying attention to the people of Flint. They are suffering, and nobody in government is paying attention to them. And that was about the time he announced his retirement, which would be in 2016, because you usually wait until another year because it means more to your pension or whatever. You know, I'm just saying that that could be a reason for the delay. But in fact, he had to make some press releases for the governor to the media that was kind of, you know, trying to cover up, if you will, the extent of the crisis, the danger to the people of Flint, even though he indicated that government wasn't paying enough attention to them. That it wasn't until last September, as I mentioned on my show, that an Iraqi immigrant who was a doctor in their public health system in Flint actually blew the whistle. She had a whole panel of people, and she did the research, and of course she was criticized by other public health officials, you know, as a making a statement that's too inflammatory and too crazy, but she was one of the heroes that I indicated on my show 2 weeks ago, certainly, and she's still talked about very favorably by the national press too. But I wanted to find out what happened to Darnell Early, and the governor, or Early, decided to get the heck out of Flint after he made this decision. And so who is in charge now of emergency manager Flint? I don't know the name of the person. I know they have a different mayor, too, that the people there elected a new mayor. Of course, does the mayor have any power? No. Not as long as they have an emergency manager. Yeah. So it doesn't really matter who the mayor is, although the mayor, who is a woman I know in Flint right now, did get a free trip to Washington, D.C. to talk to Barack Obama about the emergency support that the government might be able to give to the city. So she was at least able to be a good spokesperson. But that's what it is. And it says, by resigning, Early would no longer be testifying as an employee of the state. Does that mean he's not going to testify at all, or he won't be
subpoenaed?
Right, exactly. I don't know, because but there had been so much trouble in Detroit public schools over the last month or so. It's not that he's done a fine job there either. So in his time, in his limited time there, it's not that he poisoned the water in the schools, but you know, he obviously doesn't know how to get along with people or listen to the people, like the teachers, who are really doing all the work to try to help the kids, because the teachers' unions are very upset. Even, sure, they're not getting paid much, they're stressed out, they're not getting support, but the buildings are falling apart. And what was it was that there's toadstools growing out of the wood in the floors some places.
And, of course, that didn't happen just because this guy moved into the job.
No, he didn't. Yes.
But he's definitely been transferred from one big fire to another.
Right, and now he resigned, and maybe, I hope not, to avoid testifying anyway. But I would think he could take the Fifth Amendment, because he'd be self-incriminating. Mm-hmm. As a private person now, see, he could take the Fifth Amendment, because he might be afraid there might be criminal charges attached, although usually people in state government are indemnified for what they do. Okay, well, as long as they brought it up, a couple of weeks ago, you know, Michael Moore, documentary filmmaker, right, Bowling for Columbine, who now lives in his company is in Traverse City. He grew up in Flint. He even wrote an autobiography where he gives a lot of his stories about the early days in Flint, which was not a bad place to grow up. It was a nice community and had some problems, but you know, working middle class community, thanks to Flint being there. Well, I guess I don't see it now, but the story was basically that it was an old story, that he asked for the resignation of the governor. And let me just say, I've got a statement here, because somebody is always asking, apparently Jack Lessenberry, that's the columnist for the Metro Times and also the broadcaster for Michigan Public Radio, about Rick Snyder, our governor, should he resign or not? And this is, I thought, was very interesting. Here's Lessenberry's comment and his insight into why that won't happen.
I'm Jack Lessenberry. If you've turned on any TV news channel today, my guess is that you saw experts talking about the meaning of the Iowa caucuses. I watched more than I intended to, and discovered that the single best assessment did not come from one of the glamorous talking heads, but from a former congressman who's going to be 90 years old this summer. When the results of the Republican race were known, good old John Dingell sent out this tweet. Congratulations to Ted Cruz on winning the critically important primary state that also gave us President Santorum and President Huckabee. Those were the guys who won those caucuses the last two times and who ended up going nowhere. My guess is that Governor Rick Snyder may have welcomed the caucuses as a diversion from the death of a thousand cuts he's been suffering over the Flint water crisis. Still, yesterday, for about the sixth time, somebody asked me if I thought Snyder would resign. Others have asked how long it would take before he quit, or if he'd be booted out of there. I've been responding by asking, well, if he did quit, do you know who would become governor? Most people weren't too sure. Some did know he would be replaced by the lieutenant governor, but weren't too sure who he was. Isn't he named Cheney, one lady asked? Well, no, his name is Brian Kelly. But if you aren't steeped in state politics, they may be the only thing you know about him. Except perhaps that he's a child with autism and has worked hard to require insurance coverage for children on the autism spectrum. Beyond that, however, there's a good chance that Callie, who's 38 and looks even younger, could walk into your local mall, shop, and never be recognized. Nobody knows what kind of a governor he'd make, but I can tell you that Rick Snyder is not, repeat not, going to resign over Flint. Not unless some proof turns up that he broke the law, and there's no sign of that. Not only is Snyder not going to quit, here's a little secret. Neither party wants him to. Democrats love having him as a whipping boy, a symbol of what's wrong with the Republicans' approach to state government. Republicans aren't thrilled with Snyder either. But here's something both parties know. If Snyder were to leave, new Governor Kelly would start with a fresh slate. There'd be huge media interest in him, and it's possible he could win over the public. And there's this. He would be, unlike Snyder, eligible to run for re-election. Nobody likes taking on an incumbent. The last time a governor resigned was back in 1969, when George Romney joined President Nixon's cabinet. His lieutenant governor looked about as young and ineffectual as Brian Kelly does, and many people thought he'd just be a placeholder till the next election. But Bill Milliken went on to serve longer than any governor in Michigan history. Governor Snyder has no desire to quit, of course. That would be the ultimate admission of failure. But what you should know is that all the other politicians want him to stay there, too.
Jack Lessenberry is Michigan Radio's news analyst.
So that's the story behind the story there, is that the Democrats don't want to have Brian Kelly in because he might be good, and then he's going to have a little incumbency behind him. He'll be the incumbent. He'll get name recognition, which he doesn't have right now, and it might be harder for the Democrats to maybe win the governor's race the next time around, because Snyder is term limited, but he still has, is it 3 years or 2 years from 2016 to go, whatever it is, a couple more years, I think. I think it's 2018 the next election. And the Republicans, it would look bad for them if Snyder resigned, or if he was kicked out of office, so that would taint them more than maybe having him there. Maybe Snyder will do something miraculously wonderful in the next 2 years and pull himself out of this public relations hole. Something we don't know is going to happen. And this is just another reason, folks, and again, another one of my opinions, that maybe if the Dems and Republicans agree on something, maybe it's not such a good idea. Okay, and there are other political parties out there, especially, and I'll mention the next top two, but there'll be more on the ballot in November for various offices, the Green Party of the United States and Libertarian Party. And they have different spins on what they would do in Michigan and nationally. And you say, well, why aren't they part of the primary that's coming up March 8th? Well, that's because they're not allowed to be part of it. That's right. The Dems and Republicans are the ones in our legislature that have voted and set up this primary election at the cost of about $10 or $12 million to the taxpayers of Michigan to help promote themselves. Okay, and they don't allow, by the rules, they don't allow those minor parties to get in there, because if they did, people might start thinking about them. There might be, you know, their names might be out there. That's why they're not in these debates nationwide, because all these debates are set up by the media or the parties, and the media is enticed to cover it for various sensational reasons. And the Green Party of the U.S. and the Libertarian Party and others are not in the mix. And that's too bad, because if people ever found out what they really stand for, maybe they would get more votes. And, well, I'm sure they would get more votes if people just knew of them. Just like they say, well, Brian Kelly, if he becomes governor, he might lose to the Democrats, because even in 2 years, still nobody in Michigan will know his name. So even in 2 years, he won't make enough impression to get reelected. Although Snyder came sort of out of nowhere.
Well, he was an outsider. Pretty obscure too, as well.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he was the head of a computer company for a while and that, but he really didn't have any name recognition until he started running.
Nope.
Okay. We were mentioning, of course, the primary on March 8th, and for information about that, of course, in Dearborn, and registering to vote, which you can do up to a month ahead of the election, which is on March 8th, you can call them at 313-943-2030, okay, for election and voter information. And there's also a Michigan Voter Center at the website here, the website of the city, that is cityofdearborn.org, of course, and they even have a voter registration form. You can fill it out, or you can actually you can register to vote. Did you know this, folks? At any Secretary of State branch office, too. So if you're going in to renew your driver's license or your license plate, you can register to vote there. Save yourself a separate trip to your city clerk's office. You know, don't forget about that. And the voter registration card will be mailed to the voter within about 2 weeks. The card will state the voter name and precinct number and polling location and so on. But if you're applying for it at the city clerk's counter, you need a driver's license, passport, or a state ID. You must show that. And if you don't have one of those, there's some other requirements. You can call them and see what happens. Also, within a month ahead, the clerk's office can process absentee voter ballots. And, boy, I don't know if they changed those rules this year. I think they did. They voted in the legislature a chance for anybody, no excuse needed, can request an absentee ballot and vote absentee. Now, so you don't have to be a certain age. You don't have to say, I'm sick. You don't have to say, I'm going to be out of town. You know, so if you need an absentee ballot, if you just want to vote some other time by mail or just by going to the city clerk's office in person, that should be possible after May 8th. Now, I went to the website, which I'm looking at right now online, and it doesn't say what the deadline is for registering to vote for the primary election, but usually it's 1 month in advance. So that would be, theoretically, the 8th, which would be next week.
Next Monday.
Next Monday.
Yep.
Right. So next month, because today is the 5th, add 3. Okay. So Monday is the deadline. Monday is the last day you can register as a voter in Dearborn or anywhere else in Michigan to vote in the primary. And, of course, you do not have to say, well, I've always voted Democratic in the past. Does that mean I have to vote in the Democratic primary? Because you got to choose one or the other. You can't vote in both areas. But no. If you want to, for whatever reasons, you can vote in the Republican primary. Mm-hmm. If you think it's a horse race and you want the best Republican to be there, or even, and I don't like this approach to voting, but even if you want to vote for the worst Republican that you think will be the easiest to beat, you could vote that way. I mean, people even do that in national elections. People vote for all kinds of crazy reasons. It's not rational, folks. And I hope it could be more rational. I hope you do a lot of studying and thinking and make the best decision when, and the emotional decision isn't necessarily the best decision. But I think it's particularly ugly. I know I voted a couple times for the lesser of two evils, and they won, and they were still evil. You know, I mean, they were still bad, and so I've stopped doing that. So I look for, in some cases, I have voted for a third party candidate, as they say, or a fourth party candidate. But I won't vote against somebody. I just after 50 years plus of voting, I just found that to be unsatisfying. It's negative. But whatever you want, folks. Again, if you're not registered, you don't have a chance to vote when the election day comes up. And that's what I always tell some young people here at the college and some older people, too, who are not registered. You know, there's no one I want to vote for. Well, what if you accidentally discover someone? Maybe you met them here at Henry Ford College, dining at the 5101 restaurant or something. You know, oh, I'd like to vote for you. Oh, I'm sorry, I can't. I didn't register. It won't hurt you to register to vote, and it'll get you ready. Maybe you will be interested or find somebody you really believe in all of a sudden.
You certainly don't have a voice if you don't exercise your right.
Speaking of the 5101 restaurant.
Yes, we have a number of special events happening at the 5101 restaurant. One is coming up on February 17th. There's a seafood buffet, and that's $17 per person, and that'll be what day is that? February the 17th is the 8th is Monday, so
a week from next Wednesday. Wednesday is a big deal. Yeah.
Right, so that'll be Wednesdays and Thursday dinners are served from 6 till 7:45. And trust me, Jay and I both know that you won't be dissatisfied and when you go to these
And, of course, buffets. Very reasonable prices. They're not trying on purpose to compete with the outside restaurants, but you'd be supporting the program and getting a great meal, and it's very convivial, small restaurant environment here in the Student Center, Building M at the front of the campus. And the name of the restaurant, again, is the address of our main campus, 5101.
Right.
Is the restaurant. And their phone number is, for reservations, which are recommended.
It's 313-206-5101. And you can also visit the restaurant at henryfordculinary.com.
There you go. And I know we're going to catch some of those special meals. John, I know we will.
I'm going to be a little bit more careful.
You're
this
watching
time,
your diet.
Yes.
John has turned over a new leaf. He's actually going to try to eat healthy. That's opening again, as it does every semester. The press release says they're opening through April, when in fact, yes, Monday through Thursday luncheons and the evening special dinners on Wednesday and Thursday, those go through April. But in May and usually early June, they have usually once a week, Wednesday and Thursday, or twice a week usually, special banquets too. That we promote, and those have always been popular. So we're not saying those won't happen again, because we just haven't got the schedule yet for it.
Well, actually, we do right here.
Oh, you got a little teeny card you have?
Yep.
For
example, next week, beginning on the 8th, the theme is Premium Steakhouse. So it'll be a steakhouse, obviously, steaks and all the accoutrements compared to steaks.
Well, I was referring to the special thematic international buffets that happen in the spring and summer. But it's true. Every week, it's not just the same old food, the same old great food on the menu. And they have special menu items each week. And next week, again, is?
Premium Steakhouse.
Oh, so look for you steak lovers. Think of 5101 for next week. And again, their phone number for reservations, 313-206-5101.
Yep.
Okay. Back to Flint briefly as I thumb through my stories here, and it's related to the Michigan primary on the 8th. Both Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton, Democratic candidates for the Democratic Party nomination, will be coming to Flint. They just scheduled a debate there on Sunday night, March 6th, so just 2 days before the election, the primary in Michigan, will see Hillary and Bernie going at it again about who is the real progressive or who is the real moderate or who do you prefer? Okay, I mean, certainly some people say Bernie's too old, and I say I'm too old too. Of course, I'm not running for president, but Bernie is doing really well, and he's a feisty guy. And, you know, I think that's why in some of the polls they show that in terms of the voters nationwide, and I know he didn't quote-unquote win that little crazy caucus in Iowa, but, and I'm not talking about the quality of the candidates here, but Donald Trump, definitely an outsider, definitely got a lot of bravado, and speaking a lot of anti-current government stuff, and Bernie Sanders is saying a lot of things that, you know, we've got to focus on the people of the country, and Hillary kind of talks about that too, but Bernie is the firebrand, and it looks like Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump nationwide right now have the preference of the potential voters. But a lot can change, and we'll see what happens in New Hampshire, of course, both Democrats and Republicans. And you can't trust anything by the polls, but the polls show Bernie leading Hillary in the Democratic side of the primary, which understand that New Hampshire is actually the first real vote of the public, not just these little caucuses. And remember that, Bernie didn't win in the Iowa caucuses, in the Democratic Iowa caucuses. He missed by 6 votes because the voting just so small, so few people. And that was because in 6 precincts, the voting among the precinct representatives tied. So they flipped a coin. But talk about luck. Hillary won all 6 coin flips in 6 different districts. I wonder, did she provide the coins? What? Bad joke, I know. But I'm just saying, talk about luck. And that actually made the slight percentage difference, so you could say that she won the Iowa caucus. But caucus votes, they don't mean really anything, folks. You got to get down to voting. And even the primary voting, unfortunately, only maybe about 20% of the voters will turn out for that. That would be sad, folks. I mean, this is a preliminary stage. I know it's not the real thing. Only in November will you see all the candidates for office. I mean, including Green Party, Libertarian Party, and so on. And that's really what matters, of course. But if you want better candidates for either the Democrats or the Republicans along the way to be in the running, then you got to vote in your state's primary. And highly recommend, tell your friends and neighbors, Monday's the last day to do it, to qualify for not just this primary, but once you're registered, you're registered for life, as long as you don't move in the state. If you move to another address in another city, you've got to change your registration with that new city clerk's office. But you know, so if you're, as long as you're in that address in that state, you're registered to vote in any upcoming election. So why would you not choose to register to vote? So young people, 18, right?
18.
Okay. Get out there. Register. Do it for the primary. So, well, I'm going to wait till November. Well, don't put it off. You know, consider your options. Help out the country.
Get prepared to read. And, you know, the other item I want to say is that look at the recognition now of Bernie Sanders compared to where he was even a year ago. People know him. People, his way of speaking, his manner, his way he looks. It's changed dramatically, and that wouldn't have happened if he had just kept quiet or not exercised his right when it was time for him to exercise.
Just a great example for democracy. Not necessarily saying in favor of Bernie Sanders, but he's, right. The people say, how can you win? How can you get anything done if you do win? And he said, look, it's all the people. I get nothing but small donations. I refuse the big super PAC money. And he's done very, very well with, in fact, broken the record for small donors and total amounts raised over almost $80 million from just small donors compared to Hillary's couple big PAC donations. And there's not necessarily anything wrong with the big money, but I'm just saying, you know, all the attention on the Flint crisis, national attention, our legislature voted unanimously, bipartisan support, in other words, Democrats and Republicans, to give the $28 million Governor Snyder asked for to help Flint out short term, of course. They didn't vote for the $1.5 billion fix for the water system.
Right.
But that just shows they never would have gone together on that to the extent of $23 million without national attention on this crisis. And it deserved that national attention, by golly. Yeah. So Bernie has been saying, and this is a great understanding for democracy, if we, the general folks, okay, I'm on radio, big deal, but if we, the general population, all the listeners out there, spread the word and get everybody, your next door neighbors, everybody, to think about the elections and to talk about the candidates and then to vote your conscience, as they say, and then let your representatives know who, when they get elected, what you want them, how you want them to vote. If we had a lot more people doing that, there'd be so much attention on them, they would actually represent us. And of course, the majority of people in this country, according to the surveys, want the progressive programs that Bernie Sanders has been talking about. I'm just saying, okay? So if the majority of people, when you do surveys, want that, why shouldn't our political system respond to that need, to those wishes? And I'm just saying, it's something about democracy. It's not about candidates.
No.
Donald Trump has brought in a lot of people, too, who are mad at the current government for not doing anything, not fixing anything. Who knows what he would do in office, because he has no experience as an elected official in a political context. I doubt he could be the bully he is now or in private business when he's constrained politically, you know, just one branch of government. He's the president, but that's just one branch of government. There's two others, you know, but I'm just saying it's exciting. Get involved. Let people know how you feel. Okay. What else do you have? I have a residential rate increase. Ooh, that's, people hate to hear about that. In Dearborn, first of all, property values are going up. Okay, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
The value of your property on average in Dearborn from 2015 to 2016 has gone up 6.7%. So if you had a $100,000 home, if that was the market value now, then it would be worth $107,000 instead of $100,000 in just 1 year. That's not a lot, but home prices are going back up in the city of Dearborn. But the city of Dearborn, they'd like you to remember, I'm sure Mayor Riley will remind us in his State of the City address, which is later in this month, which we will feature on WHFR again on the Friday show right after his address. That's our intent. We've got permission to do that again. And of course, when you listen to our show, or the podcast, I cut out all the introductions of the famous people who are attending. And I know you'd love to hear that, but it's not the content, you know. And often, this is really, I'm sure the mayor doesn't like this, but I cut out the applause, okay? Although I have to say, last year, there was almost no applause from the audience in between most of it, you know, like State of the Union address.
Right.
Even Barack Obama had the Democrats voting after almost every two or three sentences, applauding. And the Democrats were rarely, I mean, the Republicans were rarely applauding, but I'm sorry, last year's address maybe just wasn't written like a Sunday sermon.
No.
Where hallelujah is always heard every couple of sentences. So he didn't write it that way, but I didn't have to edit out much of the applause. But we'd get down to the core, and it runs about half an hour, and we'll be featuring that. My recollection is it might be on the 19th, or it is it the 17th? It's going to be live in Dearborn? Well, we'll let you know next week. And you can attend for free, but if they hold it again at the Dearborn Administrative Center, the new City Hall, mm-hmm. The room only holds about 100 people, so, there won't be that much room for people to come in and sit down unless you get there when the doors first open. But that's just the way they're doing it. It's too expensive to open up the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center and have to clean up afterwards, I guess. I don't know. Okay, so the city wants you to know that they're not getting, and your taxes aren't going to go up much. Even though my property goes up, I got to pay higher taxes. It'll go up a little teeny bit, but not much because of the Headley Amendment that was passed back in the 80s or the 90s. And that keeps taxes from going up too much each year. So that's a capped taxable value. So that 6.7% works out only 0.3%, only a third of percent increase in taxable value. And so your taxes will hardly go up at all, but what does that mean to the city? The city, of course, has expenses, and you know what inflation is every year. What is it, about 3% or something, at least? Currently, the city's budget is going to be hit again, because even though your property is going up, you're going to do just fine. You're not paying... I'm sorry, your fair share. I mean, the amount you normally would pay is based on your property value. Your property goes up in value, you should be paying more. That's just fair. Well, at least if you talk about property value. Some people feel that property value is not fair way to tax. You should pay sales tax only, or you should pay income tax only. And of course, one branch of government or another gets a mixture of sources. Most cities don't require an income tax, and Dearborn doesn't have an income tax right now. So we'll see where that goes. But just so you know, even though, yeah, your property value goes up, your taxes are hardly going to go up at all. 0.3%, 0.3%, from 2015 to 2016. So don't get freaked out there. But if you want to sell your house, that's a nice increase there.
Yeah.
Okay. What else do we have, John? What do you got?
Well, I want to just promote tonight Joe's Top Dog in Dearborn is not only featuring the Rich Michaels trio, but Barbara Ware is going to be singing with that trio, and she's a very nice jazz vocalist.
One of the best in Detroit. Always considered one of the best in Detroit. Barbara
really?
Ware.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Very fine voice. Yeah. And
in fact, I believe, and I could be misspeaking here, but Ed Love, who was the jazz DJ for WHFR, he actually came to WHFR as a visit one time, but for WDET for many years. And I think he still does a show every now and then, or maybe once a week. He said Barbara Ware was his favorite jazz vocalist locally.
She's great.
What an endorsement. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I just want to put a quick plug in for the start of our fish fries in Gros Seal starting next Friday, February 12th. Knights of Columbus fish fries from 4 to 8 p.m. With many, many good choices to make as far as menu choices go, with broiled and fried fish and shrimp, entertainment as well each night. And it's going to be taken. It'll be done in the Sacred Heart Gym. And we have a totally rebuilt kitchen this year.
And Sacred Heart is located in West Dearborn area, and it's on Military North, just north at the corner there of Michigan.
Well, this is the Gros Seal Sacred Heart Church.
Oh, okay. You got to change this flyer then, because it doesn't say which one it is. I thought it was Sacred Heart in Dearborn.
No, it does. Okay. Yeah, it's in there. It's right at the very top.
Sponsored by Sacred Heart Knights of Columbus. I don't see it in there, John.
Sacred Heart Parish Hall.
Yeah, but I'm saying we have a parish hall, too, in Dearborn.
Okay.
Yeah, so we'll get it straight. Okay. But, you love Gros Seal, so.
Yep, that's.
Go
that's
on down there. Yeah. Yep. What a nice trip.
Yep.
And they got a great menu, too, so look into that. Sacred Heart Parish in Gros Seal.
In Gros Seal, yep.
Gros Seal, okay.
And we'll have Bill Bynum there next Friday night.
Entertainment.
Entertaining, yep. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What does he play again?
He plays a little bluegrass and country and guitar and banjo and that type of entertainment.
That's fish fry entertainment, yes.
You bet.
Okay. and taxes, too. There was just something that will be in the paper this weekend, and pressandguide.com put the story here. DTE Energy has asked the state of Michigan for a rate increase. Because they say, the average customer, they're just paying at 2012 levels. And, of course, they're not making any money then. So there very well could be a rate increase. They're asking for an increase of about 20 cents a day for the average person. But they say that the Public Service Commission usually does not grant the full increase requested by the utilities. I wonder why not. Because they don't deserve it. I think, because they haven't made a good enough case about why their costs have gone up so much. So it probably won't be that much, but they are asking. And, of course, DTE Energy serves more than 2 million customers in the southeast Michigan area, and that's, of course, us in Dearborn. So they're asking for a rate increase. And the Public Service Commission, who are they? Of course, they're appointed by Governor Snyder.
Enough said?
Okay. Well, just almost 4 minutes precisely away from 2 o'clock. This is WHFR Dearborn. And coming up from 2 to 4 today is Highway 61, Best in the Blues with Kitty Love hosting, with some special guests today that Kitty's going to have on the show live. No, not today.
19th.
The 19th. Oh, she was planning a big deal coming up on the 19th. She'll give you more information about that, but all kinds of new things coming up. But she's got a lot of new music, let me tell you. I carried her bag in today for her. CDs are heavy in the quantity that we get them here from local artists and independent artists, so you'll be hearing a lot of new stuff. And, of course, Great Blues continues from 4 to 6 p.m. with the Go With The Flow Mike Holloway Show, now resident right here, residing right here on Friday afternoons as part of our Blues Block. I like that phrase, Blues Block. From 4 to 6, Go With The Flow, Mike Holloway will be from 4 to 6, and he'll have more great blues music to keep you going on Friday afternoon. Okay, 4 or 5 minutes left. Let's see here. Craig Ferrand has an opinion in the Downriver newspaper. It's the newsherald.com. You can always find them there. And, of course, always on the show, we can't share all of the comments, but it looks like he, again, is talking about the Flint crisis and government's response to it. And he says, and he points this out, and I thought about this too. He says, as long as tons of water in the plastic bottles it comes in arrive in Flint, governmental actions can be delayed. There's no rush. People are getting water. We can take our time responding. We can take our time planning how to alleviate the problems, he says. Wrong. Okay, he disagrees with himself there. There should be no delays, no mitigation of action, no plotting responses. Our state government needs to be acting as if no water is coming into Flint. And as I said, why don't they start planning on that $1.5 billion needed to redo the pipes in Flint? Obviously, the city of Flint can't afford to do that themselves, even, pardon the water expression, floating a bond issue. The people there can't afford to pay. Even over, I don't know, 50 years, you know, with 100,000 people, well, really only 35,000 households, maybe 35,000 full-time employees, they can't possibly afford to pay to fix the infrastructure, in this case, the water pipes themselves. So the state of Michigan, I'd like to see them start looking ahead and fixing things. And he says a sense of urgency, aside from public pronouncements of concern, just isn't there. He said there should be water trucks in every street corner. Special water lines should be installed to carry fresh water every home. I mentioned that. Big PVC pipes going down every street above ground to get the waters into the house temporarily. You know, no, of course not. That's not happening. I actually went to Flint last Sunday. And attended a meeting at the famous restaurant up there, Wally's. Yes, that, you know, a lot of people use the weekend to take a little drive in the sun for fun, and they stop at Wally's for brunch on Sundays, for example. But nonetheless,
did you notice many water stations up there?
No, nothing. Oh, okay. I didn't see any troops. I didn't see any water deliveries. I didn't see any trucks full of bottled water. Of course, I wasn't driving up and down all the residential streets, but still, the streets I was on, I saw no activity that was water related at all. Huh. So I don't know. I agree. I want to see something happen to help them. Oh, and at Wally's, everybody was who went up there for this meeting, they were either bringing in their own water bottles. But Wally's announced that they had a special deal, and they get their water piped in from Port Huron.
Okay.
So it's not the Flint River water, and it's not Detroit water. And Wally's is a little north of downtown Flint, a little bit on the east side of Flint. But they had to go to a lot of trouble to do that. But maybe they did it, remember the GM factory up there, which is not a big factory anymore. But a year ago, they had to switch back to Detroit water because the internal pipes in their building and their machinery was being damaged by the Flint River water. But so they were able to switch somehow to Detroit water. But Wally's, and I don't know if they did it recently or whatever, but they were using, as they stated, Port Huron water. Yes, I checked the look of the water. I looked in the toilets, you know, and that. Is it all brown? The rings on the toilet? Right. All clean. So
when you turn that tap on, that takes a little time to get from Port Huron to there, though.
Maybe. So I'm just saying a few people up there have the benefit of having put money out to get water from other places, but it's really sad. And so we hope things will improve there. We got to get going. It's time for Highway 61. Thank you for listening to the new WHFR Journal. This is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. John and I will be back next Friday to give you
Valentine's Day edition.
Oh boy, yeah, my heart is beating faster already. Okay, so take care out there and stay tuned for Highway 61.